Hello everybody, my name is George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel again. And this is about whether the United Kingdom ought to withdraw from the European Convention of Human Rights, and that therefore the rule of the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg, which is not to be mixed up with the European Court of Justice in Luxembourg, is a common misconception. Anyway, the ECHR was assigned in 1950. It's a project they're working on since 1948. The United Kingdom was instrumental in drawing it up. And it was agreed to by all the countries in Europe. This is the broadest definition, from Iceland to Azerbaijan. And two countries withdrawn from the European Court of Human Rights jurisprudence. And those are Belarus and the Russian Federation. Because, of course, the human rights situation is lovely in those countries. And Russia had over 10,000 rulings against it by the ECHR, but there's no enforcement mechanism. And so Russia was just flagrantly in breach of the ECHR to which it signed up and to the rulings of the European Court of Human Rights to which it submitted itself. Each the country signed up to it, about 45, were able to send a judge to Strasbourg, and he or she would hear cases, but not one involving his or her country, to avoid any claim that there was any sort of conflict of interests. So the ECHR, much of it is laudable. Some of it you'd find in English law, Scots law, and so on, Northern Irish law, for decades prior to 1950, indeed centuries, and the things which are seemingly uncontentious, such as the right to life and free expression and whatever, security of person and property rights. Now, certain abridgments can be made of these in particular circumstances, and as the right to life, it says that doesn't mean that the force can't be used, or even to kill people and putting down a riot and stuff like that, and no slavery, but you can still have compulsory military service or some sort of other compulsory social service, and so forth. So it might seem so far so good, but it's become a problem, and the definition of it's broader and broader. And, you know, the ECHR didn't call to stop massive scale atrocities by the French army in Algeria in the 1950s, despite the fact Algeria counted as legally part of France and not one of its colonies. You know, it was signed up to Spain when it was still a dictatorship, and. So all these Eastern European communist dictatorships, they were signed up to it. So it's really not where the paper was written on, and it hasn't prevented mass murder in countries signed up to it. And I do mean, you know, millions of murders every single year. I do mean millions carried out by the government in most cases. So clearly it's worthless. And that's why Reform United Kingdom is proposing withdrawing from it. If you sign up to a treaty or a convention, any state has the right to leave it at any time. And Kemi Badenoch, leader of the Conservative Unionist Party, she has commissioned Lord Wolfson of Tredegar, who's a former justice minister, to lead a commission, and they're going to examine the possibility of withdrawing. I reckon they will suggest to withdraw it. So anyway, its remit has been broadened, so many more matters are justiciable, and really that's doing politics. The judges are intruding into the political sphere, they're usurping executive and legislative functions, or things like you know, the Rwanda plan. You might think it's good, you might think it's bad, but this is unlawful, that's unlawful. But wait a second, what happened to parliamentary supremacy? The idea was that judges, they cannot strike down a law, they cannot say that an act of parliament is unlawful. Although what they did do in the rape marital exception case in about 1993 is to say that a man could be found guilty of raping his wife. The previous argument was when a woman married her husband, she was irrevocably consenting to intercourse. And even and later on, if he decided to copulate with her, she said, no, stop, I don't want this, absolutely not. Even if he swore in court, yes, he did it against her will, that wouldn't count as rape because she'd consented and she could never, ever take that back. Well, they changed that, the House of Lords, because they said it was unimaginable that Parliament would seek to overturn it. And indeed, Parliament has not sought to overturn it. But I'm not sure we found that striking down a law or actually sort of legislating. But they seem to intrude into the legislative and executive sphere more and more. They need to keep within their own appointed limits. And then we don't have politics. We've got Crytarchy. We're ruled by judges who are, of course, unelected. And judges, they're not there to make life convenient for politicians or to make it inconvenient. They're to rule on the law. Are things lawful or unlawful and so forth, to do statutory interpretation and things like that. But increasingly, they are shaping policy. So even if you're against the Rwanda plan, surely you must recognize it's up to Parliament to determine these issues and not the judges. And they stopped it happening. Even though the Rwanda plan was unacceptable, then you need to stand for Parliament on that basis, get yourself elected, and then you can change it back again. And the Rwanda plan never got off the ground, partly because of that. So the Climate Change Act, the Equality Act, the Human Rights Act. The Human Rights Act is what takes the European Convention on Human Rights and made it justiciable, passed in 1998, and it took effect in 2000, which is to say one's rights arising from the ECHR can be ruled upon by the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom, by other courts, and they have to seek to interpret domestic British law in consonance with the ECHR where possible. Sometimes it's not possible, they might issue a declaration of incompatibility. Now, that doesn't nullify a statute, but it signifies this to Parliament. Parliament may choose to rectify the situation or not. So Article 8 of the ECHR is about family life. And so family life is being used to let people stay in the United Kingdom who should be deported or in the United Kingdom illegally, who committed very, very heinous crimes. They can't be deported because their children, okay, we might let their children stay, but not them stay. And, you know, if you wanted your children to stay in the United Kingdom, you should not have committed a very grave offence. I mean, I don't want people deported over trifling offences like shoplifting or speeding or something like that, or graffiti or very minor vandalism or travelling on a train without a ticket. But if these are very major crimes attracting a prison sentence of over 10 years, of course they should be booted out. And so there's this assumption that they all say judiciary is politically neutral, politically independent. How do we know? What are their opinions? How do we know they're all not all leftists or right wingers? I mean, I think you can tell they are leftists from their rulings, which are very much to the liking of left wingers and liberals. Now, they could all be leftists or liberals and still fair-minded and do their job in an impartial way, but it's less likely. You should recognize the fallibility of judges. They're not divine. They have prejudices too. They have emotions. They're subject to the same social and psychological pressures as anybody else. They can have biases as well. So therefore, we mustn't put too much power in their hands. And they're unaccountable like that. You know, they can't be proceeded against for any of their rulings. You can't sue judges for the rulings they've made. So it's a very worrying situation where they've got this ever-growing power and there's no check on what they can do. And they're frustrating the democratic will of Parliament. You know, I don't want demagoguery either. We actually have demagoguery, which is why there's the war on children. And coming back to Gaza, one of the most eye-catching claims is that Hamas had decapitated 40 babies on the 7th of October, 2023. Now, that turned out to be a lie. But anyway, the UK government decapitates babies every single day and nothing is done about it. Literally, decapitates, rips their heads off little babies. So the willful murder of children is not prevented by the ECHR or the Supreme Court, showing how unjust it is. So children are ripped apart, disarticulated is the euphemism used, just because they're in utero. And the most vulnerable members, the courts don't speak up for them, because I suppose that would be unfashionable. And they may well be murderers sitting there on the UK Supreme Court. We have a right to know, and they should be judged. And if they are guilty, they should serve a life sentence without possibility of parole. Uh-oh.